The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, September 28th, 2012, if you're listening live, and it's your time if you're listening to the recording. Welcome. I am very happy to be here today as October and autumn are winding down in New England. Most of the leaves are off the trees, and the chill is in the air without the sun to burn it off. And I'd like to talk today about communication. But before we do that, let's jump in and make the connections as fully as we can. So as we go to that, allow yourself to breathe in and connect with your own divinity, your own inner master. Allow that to come up from within you. Maybe about focusing in a particular place, a particular part of your body, the dantian, the heart, whatever works for you. But simply ask, put that intention out, make that choice that you are connecting right now as deeply as possible with your own divinity, with your own energy as soul, as spirit. And just allow that essence of yourself to fill your physical body. Ask that it fill the emotional and mental levels as well. And just breathe that in. Breathe it through. Carry it out as well with that intention throughout your energy field, throughout your aura. And to take that step further into exposing yourself, allow that to go down all of the energetic connections that you share with the others in your life. Allow your own divinity to become more fully present within those relationships. Wonderful. All right. Let's make the next connection more conscious, which is our connection to our Mother Earth. So again, open up in whatever way works for you to connect more fully with our Mother Earth, whether it's through your feet, through the root chakra, through the cells of the skin, whatever might work best for you. But you're opening to allow her love and support to fill you. And again, at every level, physical, emotional, mental, flowing into your entire energy field, filling your aura. Wonderful. And allow yourself, in this case, to come into your gratitude for being alive at this time, your gratitude for being able to be in a body at this time, in the physical dimension. And let that flow back out to her. And allow yourself to connect with. Whatever it is that you love about being alive right now, right this second, not what you should love, but what you do love, what you do feel that joy when you think about, and allow that love to be shared with her as well. And then connect with, through the gratitude and love, any ways that come to mind right now that you might consciously choose to support her. Things that you might do to make the earth a better place because you're here. And allow that to flow out to her. And as we allow these streams of gratitude and love and support flow to her, it opens up more space for us to receive what she's offering us as well. And so allow yourself to take that in and expand that in your experience. And let's connect with all the other beings that are available around us to aid us in walking in this lifetime and creating what we would choose to create. And in the same way as with the earth, allow yourself to open up to feel that love and support. And open your heart, open your third eye or your crown, open in whatever way works best for you to do that. But we're opening to receive the love and support of these beings who are here, our angels, our guides, the ascended masters, the spiritual hierarchy, and on and on and on. All the beings that we individually have contact with that can aid us and do offer their services to us. And just let that energy flow in and fill you on the physical, emotional, and mental levels, expanding to fill your aura, your energy field. And once more, connect with your gratitude, the gratitude for that support, the gratitude for the aid that is available in every moment to us. And allow your gratitude to flow back to them. And again, connect with the love you have for all of the experiences that you might label as your spiritual path or your conscious spiritual path. The things that you've experienced only because you've stepped into this choice to connect more fully to spirit. And allow your love for those experiences to be shared with these beings without physical body. And again, any way in which you are willing to support them and what they're here to do. Now, the first thing they're here to support for you is you and your own awakening. But some of us have other pieces of what we're here to do along with that that we might label as service. And there are secondary or tertiary levels of purpose, but connecting with that and offering that support back as well is a wonderful thing. And again, sharing our gratitude, love, and support in this way allows us to receive more of the love and support that they're offering. And next we move to this community, the Exposing the Masters Within community, the community of those who gather here, live or through the recording, to step forward on our paths together into greater empowerment. And allow yourself to open to the energy of that shared intention to come into empowerment and that shared intention to support others in stepping into their empowerment. And as we do open in that way, we receive more of the energy of that support, and perhaps it erases some of that energy that most of us at least occasionally feel of being alone in this world, being alone on this path. We have to do everything by ourselves because there is this community here. Even when we're not live, even when we're not listening to the program or creating the program, the community is here anyway. The energy that we create each week when we do this remains and can be tapped into. But tapping into it right now, allow that support energy to flow in, to fill you physically, emotionally, mentally, to fill your energy field, to fill your aura. And again, the gratitude for that support and your own intention or desire to support others who are walking this path together as well. Allow that to flow back out into this consciousness that we are creating, this mass consciousness of exposing the masters within. And as we do that, so we open and we can receive more of that support as well. And let's reach out now, this last phase, to all of humanity and connect with the shared intention, the shared desire that all of humanity has, which is that shared intention to make things better, to experience things better, in whatever way better might be defined. Everyone has that desire on some level, that spark to improve things, even if it's only for themselves, which is quite fine. And so we're tapping into that mass consciousness, which is huge because it is created by all of us in human form. And allow that energy of that shared intention, the support of that shared intention, the power of that shared intention to flow into you and to help you to take more steps in that way for yourself, to improve your life, to better your life, to empower your energy in that way. And once more, allow your own gratitude for that support to flow back into that, amplifying that community energy, that mass consciousness, as we go now to the smaller subset of humanity, the conscious light workers, those who are actively walking a path of self-empowerment and supporting others in their empowerment. And again, that intention is much, much more specific to empowerment, to self-mastery, to mastering living in these dimensions consciously and creating our lives consciously. And so tap into that and allow yourself to receive that degree of support, more specific. And I would say even stronger for being more specific. Conscious thought definitely has more power than unconscious. And once more, allow your own gratitude at receiving that support to flow back into that community as well and feed and build that energy there. And just take a moment before we step to the topic for today and breathe all this in and feel how you're feeling right now and just notice the difference, whatever it might be, however small it might be, however large it might be, that you feel in this moment from when we started. And thank yourself for choosing to open in these ways, to expand in these ways, to connect more fully in these ways. All right. So I said today is going to be about communication. And what areas of communication are we going to talk about? Well, I want to start with what kind of triggered me in this direction this week, which was reading a book called In the Land of Invented Languages. And it's a very good read. I would recommend it if you are interested in obscure things. The author does a wonderful job of making it not only edifying, where we learn things, but also entertaining, as she talks about Esperanto and Klingon and all kinds of other languages that people have attempted to, well, they've attempted to give birth to, many of them for purposes very specifically of birthing something that would allow us to communicate more clearly. And perhaps Esperanto, if you know what that is, it's probably the one of these invented languages that has been most successful with communities all around the world that speak the language, that come together in groups to share it. It was originally brought forth late 1800s, early 1900s, sometime in there, as part of a whole movement of trying to help people communicate more effectively and prevent the kinds of conflicts that we have both individually and collectively across communities, cultures, religions, nations, etc. Obviously, the movement hasn't caught on as fully as they might have liked. We don't have 7 billion plus or whatever number of humans we have on the planet now speaking it. But it did create a community that is an ongoing thing. And I find that heartening. And her descriptions in the book about that community and how much they are open-hearted and sharing and desiring to connect. It sounds like a lot of fun to go connect at one of these events, because it is connecting with people who are looking for a higher level of experience, a better way to do it. So again, it comes right back to what we're talking about and overcoming some of the basic issues that we have with miscommunication. Now, this is one of, she says there's upwards of 900 of these invented languages. And I find it fascinating that the first one that she lists was written by, or created by, Hildegard von Bingen, who is a, I believe, 12th or 13th century nun, but a mystic who, if you're not familiar with her work, is someone that I would encourage you to just tap in on if you want to be inspired. I have a number of CDs that have been recorded of things that she created, that she wrote back that long ago, and they are just incredibly beautiful and powerful. And she did paintings, and she did all of these things that you wouldn't expect from a woman in that time frame in Europe, because of how closed things were, etc., and how limited the opportunities were. But here she was stepping out and expressing herself in these ways. And although I didn't go further and research that particular language that Hildegard created, I have to imagine that it was created out of this connection that she had with spirit, that it was created in some way as a reflection of that, to be a clearer expression of divinity in these dimensions. And I don't know if there was any effort on her part to speak it with others or write in the language. I don't know. But that just, it sparked something in me, that here was this mystic who was that connected, who was that able to bring and ground things from the divine into the world, that she created this language. And not that that's the first one necessarily ever done, but it is the first one listed in the book I read. And that inspires me on this path of exposing the masters within, of connecting with spirit and bringing through what we can as we step further into our power and get more connected to that mastery, to our divinity. And one of the things that I want to connect here with that is that whatever we bring into being continues. Even after we focus our attention elsewhere, even after we have passed beyond the physical, it continues because it's energy. It's energy and expression. It has a mass consciousness. The fact that I haven't read or looked further at that language that Hildegard brought in doesn't mean that my awareness of it hasn't added energy to it, hasn't added energy to whatever it was already vibrating and making it larger. And we can talk about this. One of the common ways to talk about this is as thought forms. That a thought goes out and continues to exist after the person has stopped thinking it. And that's one of the tenets of manifestation, which is we focus on things, we amplify energy in them, and they continue vibrating after that and have effect in the world. And although this isn't where I started to go when I began this topic, I will get back to where I started to go. That's an important reminder for me that everything we're doing, every moment we're experiencing, lives on after we experience it. And that idea has a tremendous amount of power in it for me. It has a tremendous amount of power because there's no such thing as a moment that doesn't have meaning. Even if it doesn't have meaning in the big sense, philosophy and spirituality and all of these other things, that it exists reverberates forever. And that, you know, can cause us to go, ooh, I have to do important things in every moment. But I don't think that's why it's important. It's important. That idea is important. Not to get us to do more important things, because importance is judgment. The idea of something being important and something being unimportant is about our judgment being imposed on that thing, saying it's right or wrong, good or bad. This is following spirituality. That's the most important thing we can do. Eating is not. Making love is not. These are lesser things. You know, cleaning the car or the garage, that's not important. Or not cleaning the car or the garage, that's not important. But rather, every moment, everything is divine. And this is another way to connect with that, because it reverberates. If we were out at a certain distance from the planet, looking at the planet with a telescope of infinite power, we would see the moment that was happening in the past. However many light years away we are, if we're 20 light years away, then we would be perceiving what was happening on Earth 20 years ago as if it were happening in that moment. And that's what I mean when I say, that's one of the things I mean when I say it continues. And if we have an infinite universe, which may or may not be true, I don't know, but it certainly is pretty huge, every moment that we have is going out like the ripples from that stone that we threw in the pond. It's going out. That moment is still accessible. It's still observable at a certain distance from this planet. But more importantly than that, because we're not going to get in the spaceship and go out there with the big telescope and look back and go, ha ha, that's what I was doing on that day. That's not important in the sense, well, in the same way that the vibration of that is still living. That is still living. And that's one way to look at what the idea of mass consciousness is. Mass consciousness, you can have a mass of one. One thing is one thing. You add another thing to it and you have two things. Well, every thought that has ever been thought is a mass consciousness by itself, even if it's unique. If it's the first time it's ever been thought, it's a mass consciousness of one. And it may not have a lot of power, it may not have a lot of energy, it may not have a lot of vibration, but it is a unit of mass consciousness. And yet, in mass consciousness, like definitely attracts like, and so every other thought that's ever been thought that was the same as that thought, they come together. They aggregate. They create a community of that particular thought. And if there were 50, if that thought's been thought 50 times, then that's 50 pieces that come together to create a larger thing that is mass consciousness. And that continues to vibrate. And every time we go back to that thought, we add more energy to it. And how much emotion we have around that thought says how loud it is, how large it is, how big it is. Which actually brings me to another place, which is the amplifier that is perhaps the strongest in the emotional realm for most of us is at the negative end of the spectrum. And I would say that at the core of all of them is fear. And so for me, fear is the largest one. So it's somewhat disturbing perhaps to me how much fear is being thrown about on the planet at this time about the terrorists. Oh, the terrorists. Well, we have to be afraid not only of the terrorists, but of everyone who might think the same way that they do, who might have the same background religion. Well, quite frankly, we've got terrorists. We've had terrorists from most every religion. You go back in history, you'll find them. The Crusades was a terrorist activity, writ large into war, but it was a terror activity. Hitler was a terrorist. And just to get the emails from the family members that I don't necessarily agree with their politics, how much fear is out there about the state of this country and the impending doom that's going to happen if this person is elected versus that person speaks to the power of mass consciousness. And the degree that we connect with a mass consciousness, a particular mass consciousness, this is, again, a kind of communication certainly that's always taking place. To the degree we hold a belief within us is the degree that the mass consciousness of that particular belief affects us. And yes, it's kind of disturbing how much fear is out there, but I also am very heartened by it because to me, the fear is this loud right now because it's coming up to be moved. It's coming up in response to the transformation that's taking place on the planet. And that transformation in and of itself is scary because if we're to transform the planet, we cannot have it remain the same as it has been. And so that comfort that we have with the known, even the unpleasant known, even what we know that we don't like, there's still a comfort there. The unknown could get worse. That's the fear. And so we try to cling on to what we know, even the aspects of it that we don't necessarily like. And this is true at the personal level, as well as the family level, as well as the community level and the country, etc. And so for me, that there's this much fear up right now is a sign of that movement forward. And that's the backlash. And in many cases, that's the extreme conservative movement trying to hold on to the old because the fear for them is extreme about where we might go. But it's from the conservatives, the extreme conservatives, the radical conservatives in every community that the terrorists come from, the ones who want to impose their view upon everyone else. And, not to be unbalanced here, at the other extreme, the ones who want change at all costs, same kind of thing. That's where the terrorists can come from. But that's because there's not real communication going on there between those extremes and the ones who might be less extreme than that, the ones who are less extreme in fear, which is leading me back to where I began with this book, because not all of the languages that are created, that were created, that are described in this book follow this, but many of them have been about seeking to communicate more clearly by communicating more logically, which on the surface might sound good until we look a little closer and go, but humans aren't logical. Why aren't we logical? Why isn't that the natural way that we communicate with each other? Why is that something that these people who've created these languages are striving for? Because that's only the mental body. Now, there are lots of people who don't think logically. So the mental body itself is not logical automatically, but that's where logic can apply and does apply. But we also have this emotional body and this physical body that have different agendas, which is why, for me, no invented language coming from that perspective is ever going to work, which is why most of them haven't worked at all. And the ones that have been, shall we say, minor successes along the way. That's why we don't speak a common global tongue right now. But that energy of seeking to communicate more clearly is an incredibly powerful drive for those, I believe, who walk this path. And it's an incredibly powerful tool for those who seek to walk this path. But it's not just about getting the logic. And again, that's why there are so many instances of miscommunication between us at how many levels? At how many levels? And it's interesting to note how much we seem to be going towards something that strips away many of the levels of communication that we've built up as a social race. The human race is a social race, except for, you know, the few hermit exceptions who go out and live on their own, or those who've been banished in the old days and forced to live out on their own. Why was that a terrible punishment? Well, because we are built to interact with each other. But in that, we have all of these facial expressions. We have tone of voice. We have body language. Now, granted, some of that is cultural. Some of that does change. What is a profane body gesture in this culture may not be in another. What is, the okay symbol that we know in this country, in one country, is fighting words, essentially, in at least one community. And so these things are not necessarily all universal, but it's universal that when we're interacting with each other, when we're interacting with individuals, that we do take that into account. And again, that is part of why. And this is just one example of a particular way of interacting with the world that people can have. Where that gets diminished, it creates problems. Where that ability to read people's facial expressions, and there are, well, at least those with Asperger's syndrome, have that difficulty. They can't read facial expressions. They don't get meaning from them. And so they don't pick up on things. They don't pick up as well on tone of voice and body language. And it becomes difficult for them to get along with other people. For those of you who do watch television, and for those of you who do watch one of my favorite shows on television, which is The Big Bang Theory, there is a scientist on there called Sheldon who essentially exhibits all of that. He's all about logic, and he does not read those cues and has a tremendous difficulty communicating with others clearly, unless those others have a very good understanding of who he is, and they make exceptions and explain things further. But these issues with communication, whether it's reading body language or tone of voice or facial expression, is almost universal. Now, why is that? Why is that? Why is it that we can't just all get along? Well, because we each have our own filtering system. We each have a filtering system that looks out at the world through our past experiences and makes the interpretations of what is going on, of what another person might be saying, not based just on their words, but based upon past experiences we've had that felt similar. And so it gets in the way of communication. There's a technique that's used by psychologists to a degree. I came across it in a workshop that wasn't specifically on technology. That's the most direct experience that I've had of it, which is you have a speaker and you have a listener, and the speaker says what they're trying to say, and the listener is not trying to come up with a response to what they're trying to say, but is seeking to actively listen, and then once the speaker is finished, reflecting back to the speaker in their own words, this is the listener speaking now, the listener speaking back what they think that other person meant. And in trying to put it in the listener's words, often subtleties will come out and can be explained further. Things that we thought were clear when we were the speaker, we go, oh, I didn't make myself clear. Let me try this way. And we say it another way. And get that to the point where we can actually say, yes, that's what I said. But the interesting thing is, the one who was the first speaker in saying, yes, that's what I said, our response is based on our own filters that we think the other person understands us. But we, even in these circumstances, can't know it fully. And then they get to speak, the one who was the listener gets to speak, and we go back and forth. And it's about coming to agreement. It's about setting boundaries and clarifying in the context of this particular workshop what it is we're seeking to do together. Okay, we're going to step into this exercise. This is what I need for that to take place, and this is what I need for that to take place as we switch back and forth between speaker and listener. And then we get to the place where we think we understand each other and go into the exercise, and maybe we do and maybe we don't. But we definitely have gotten closer because we were able to speak up and ask for what we need. And we were seeking to listen to each other actively. And these are ways in which I don't know that many people are able to live. Actively speaking and asking for what they need and actively listening, I don't think these are especially common. I think they happen sometimes. They happen when we're most relaxed, but how many people are relaxed during the majority of their communications, during the majority of the time they're interacting with each other? Well, let's take this a step further, because this is about exposing the masters within. I want to touch upon another kind of communication in relation to this, in relation to how our personal filters get in the way of truly receiving the answer for what's going on. And I've seen this happen multiple times. It happened to a friend of mine and someone that friend had met more recently, so that's why it's more at the top of my consciousness right now. And that is, as we open spiritually, as we open to connect to the other realms. And perhaps you've had this experience with others around you. Perhaps you've had this experience yourself. Perhaps you will have no idea what I'm talking about. But often when someone starts to awaken and they start getting all this information that seems to be beyond what they could know. The typical response, is to simply, well, if they're open to it, the typical response is to go, woohoo, I have a direct link to God, or I have a direct link to this being or that being. I know now what I couldn't know before. And often, what gets triggered is a spate of this person going to other people and saying, oh, this is what you need to do. This is true for you. This is what's wrong in your life. I'm going to fix it for you. Blah, blah, blah. This is what you need to do to fix it. This is what you need to do to save yourself, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They go into this space of everything I'm receiving must be true. What they don't understand is that what they're receiving is still coming through their own filters of reality. And so many people get pretty clearly when they're told no enough by the people they're trying to save, when they're told no enough by the people who are hearing what they have to say and going, no, that's not my perception, that, well, maybe they're not getting everything clearly. Maybe they're not able to receive it clearly. And then they continue with their own work and realize that communication with spirit is not quite that simple. It's not quite that automatic. It's not quite that easy to have the complete truth come in just a second. Poof, there it is. Because we can only connect with it to the degree that we're open in our filters to receive it. And to the degree that we're open in our filters to change our view of the world. And often what happens as well is when that kind of opening takes place, that individual gets a sense of purpose that they haven't felt before. Oh my God, I have a direct link to divinity. I've got to do something so important. I've got to do this to save the world or fix these people or fix this circumstance. I've been touched by God. And I'm certainly not saying that they haven't been. But it's very easy to get carried away, especially if we don't have that awareness of our own filters, which that is not necessarily an easy thing to do either. Even if we have the conscious awareness that there are filters there, the very fact that they're there means that it's hard for us to see them. That's what we look through. It's not what we look at. It's kind of like if you're wearing sunglasses, most of the time you're looking through the sunglasses, not at them. You have to really focus back in to be looking at the sunglass itself, the surface of it. But how do we do that? Well, or why do we do that? Perhaps is a better question. Why do we do that? Well, oftentimes it's because we see some dirt that's gotten on the surface and it gets in the way of us seeing through. Well, what is that? That's when our issues come up to confront us. That's when we have a negative experience in our lives. We're going along, living our life the way we think our life is supposed to be, and then we hit a bump. Well, I thought if I lived this way, then I would get this response from other people around me, and it's not working. And that is the dirt on the lens that causes us to see, oh, I'm wearing my lens here. I'm wearing this filter. It's a should. And it's not true. And it's not working. And so I can change that. I can seek to move that, etc. But this is about, at its core, it's about communication. Anything that we are interacting with, anyone that we are interacting with, we are in communication with. We are receiving, we are taking in, we are reading energies, and we are putting out energies at all times. And back from my days as an undergrad or even in high school speech class, in any act of communication, there are at least three parts. There's the sender, there's the receiver, and there's the message itself. Now, I would also add to that that there is all the means of the message, whether it's spoken or written, whether it's video, whatever it might be. But the sender and receiver each have their own filters, and the message itself is created behind the filters of the sender, and then it's interpreted through the filters of the receiver. And so, whew, a lot of space for miscommunication. It's a wonder that we ever understand each other at all. But how do we make this better? Other than becoming active listeners and driving each other crazy, going, is this what you meant? Is this what you meant? Is this what you meant in every interaction that we have? Well, one, we look for those points where the disconnect is, and when our own outrage or our upset or our annoyance or whatever happens in an interaction with someone else, as is always true, if it's up and it's negative, it's up to be moved. Move the emotion first. Because as long as we're in that emotion, as long as we're in the upset, because the communication is not clear, because what's going on is not the way we want it to be, the negative emotion is up to let us know it's not the way we want it to be. Okay. I get the message. Ah, you can go, negative emotion. Then we can take a step to rectify that. We can take a step to say, okay, what was really going on here? What was my filter? Did I have an expectation of what the other person was supposed to do that I did not communicate? I did not clearly ask for what I need. And perhaps I didn't ask for what I need because I wasn't listening to myself. A lot of communication mishaps are internal. We make assumptions based on our filters. Other people having different filters make different assumptions. And so we need to look at those. We have the opportunity to look at those. When something goes wrong, we can look at it and figure out, well, what were my expectations? What were my judgments? What were my beliefs about what I was doing? The hidden assumptions. And as we use these moments of miscommunication to help, well, they're the spots on our sunglasses. We can use them first to clean away the spots and then to take away the sunglasses, to take away the filters. But as we do that, another piece of this is stepping more and more into our divinity, more and more into our awareness of our own value, so that we are less worried about what other people think of us, how they perceive us, so that we can take the actions that we know that are right for us. Because that's a lot of the filters, those judgments of ourselves as unworthy create expectations of our mistreatment by others. And so the more we step into our divinity and shed that energy of the experience of separation in unworthiness, the more we can be clear in our interactions with others. And so, perhaps in the conclusion of this topic part, I would offer this, that we are all speaking our own invented language. We are each speaking our own unique invented language. It has our grammar, it has our vocabulary, and these are built of our beliefs and our past experiences. And it's important to remember that a lot of our beliefs are not conscious, because they were embedded, imprinted in us before we were verbal. Even early talkers, I don't think even, you know, infants that come in, most don't talk until about a year. Early ones talk at 8 months or something, but there's still a lot of time there before we have any conscious ability to use language. and the processing developments that go on through the first few years of life don't allow us to process a lot of things in the way that we think as adults. And so things that get imprinted, beliefs that get imprinted, before we have full mental development, before we have full language development, are below the language threshold. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that's why a lot of talk therapy doesn't do a lot of good, because it doesn't get to the energetic blueprint or pattern underneath, because it got imprinted before we had the language for it. Now, I don't mean to leave off on a pessimistic note. I think that's actually a very good thing to know. And that speaks a lot to the idea of using energy to shift our reality, of using energetic techniques to get down beneath just talking about it. Talking about things can point the way, but it's not going to be the fastest way to get there or the most direct, because it has all of these limitations of language, the limitations of expectation and judgment, the limitations of past experience. And it's not just expressing from the mental and the logical. It's trying to express as well the emotional and even the physical aspects of us. It's no wonder we're all confused. Anyway. I think I'll stop there and let the channeling take over. Before we go there, just a brief reminder. Tomorrow night is the next gateway activation. We will be activating the gateways of death and rebirth. And this is actually the rebirth of rebirth. We've done rebirth, one of the other ones as well, but this will be a different formulation, a different level of it, opening it up more fully. And that's tomorrow night, 7:30 Eastern time. We'll be available by teleconference in person if you're in New Hampshire or Massachusetts and want to come. And, of course, through the recording. So if anyone's interested in that, I'll eventually get the information on the website tonight or tomorrow. And the email will go out tonight or tomorrow. So hopefully you'll join us for that if you have any call for that. If you're feeling the need to kill off certain aspects of your life and transform them, bring them new life in rebirth. Anyway, we're all going through it right now, letting go of that old, killing off what no longer serves. So if you resonate, please join us. You can email or call to get more information if you're not on my list. So let's go in and do the channel and allow your breathing to deepen, as always, while I do the toning that adjusts the frequencies and allows the channeling to come through. Hello, dear ones. This is the one that you would most likely know as Saint Francis of Assisi. Welcome. Welcome. It is good to be with you. And what I've come to speak about is about communication, but it is about coming down to a level of communication that I was known for, that I am still known for, which is communicating with the animals, so to speak. Of course, that is forgetting the fact that humans are animals as well. But it is a key. And I'm not saying that After I speak with you in this way, you will have all the animals of the forest coming up to you and eating out of your hands. But it is a useful thing to know how that can even be possible. Because in knowing that, it can aid you in communicating with the humans around you, who are the most deluded animals. So, the first thing to understand in any communication is that the most powerful, the most important part of the communication is not the speaking or the sending of the message. And it is not even the message itself. The most important part of any communication is the openness to receiving what is being offered. Breathe that in. Because most people seem to think that the most important aspect of communication is trying to communicate clearly their point to others. But the best way to do that, the most direct way to do that, actually has nothing to do with your speaking. It has to do with you honoring the person that you are seeking to communicate with by listening to her or listening to him. Because it is when one feels heard that one will open to hearing. And when your listener feels that you are not interested in what they have to say, you are not interested in hearing their response, you are only interested in making them understand you, well, feel the resistance that comes up even as you hear those words. Your resistance to someone who is essentially proselytizing, trying to convince you that they are right, rather than trying to share with you a deepening understanding between you. At its purest level, communication begins with communion. It's about coming together. It's not about one overriding the other. It's not about one dominating the other. It's not about one convincing the other. It is about coming together, deepening connections. And that is why the listening piece is the most important. If you go into an interaction with another, no matter how difficult you fear it might be before you get there, or no matter how much you expect it to be joyful before you get there, it will be better than you imagine it to be if your intention is to honor the other and hear him or her clearly. And we would suggest you breathe that in. And if you think about those people that you feel you communicate with best, quite frankly, you do not think about the people necessarily who agree with you about everything. what you think about, or the people who honor you and give you space to be who you are and give you space to express who you are. And breathe that in. And if you think about at another level, those public speakers, perhaps, that are the most eloquent, the most powerful, the sense that you get from them when you are listening is that they understand you, even if there's no direct interaction. Those speakers who are inspiring, those speakers who you sit back from and you go, wow, that was powerful. You have that response because they speak not just from the heart, if we can use that phrase to describe it, but they speak from the commonality, from the unity, from that which is shared in the community. They're not trying to just speak to your mind or even just to your emotion. They're seeking to speak to your soul. Which brings us back to where we started. When you can step into communication with another, choosing, no matter how hard it may be mentally, because you know this person is a bastard, but speaking from that place within you, with them, where your intention is to connect with their divinity, your intention is to speak with their divinity, your intention is to honor and hear where they are coming from, not just as personalities, not just as pains in your life, not just as difficult people, but you're seeking to connect with the divine within them and hear the divine underneath what they are saying that may be difficult, what they are saying that may be antagonistic. Then they will soften. Because that is you being more open. And it's not, again, that you're open necessarily in the sense of, I'm going to take everything this person says as my truth. We would not advise that. Discernment is always important. But rather, that you would not choose to dishonor the messenger simply because you disagree with the message. And that is so much of what is going on out here. The dishonoring of the messengers. I disagree with your message. You must be not only wrong, but evil. And to change what is taking place in the world. If you go onto your internet, there has never been so much expression available before for you to connect with. Never. And yet that is not solving things. Because just having that much expression out there does not mean that there is anywhere near that much openness and honoring and seeking for understanding rather than conversion. So, dear ones, if you want to know the pathway to communicating with all animals, including other humans, at the deepest level possible, start with connecting to your own divinity and end with connecting with their divinity. And then be in the moment together and share. If there is agenda, in an experience, it's not that there can be no communication. But if there is agenda, there is often conflict with it because there is not a shared agenda. And so, commune with the divinity that you are. Commune with divinity they are. And co-create the moment together. That is communication that is empowered and empowering. Much love to you all, dear ones. Namaste. Hello and welcome back. Although you didn't go anywhere, I did. Thank you, St. Francis. And, well, Doug, you can start those chimes anytime now. And thank you to each and every one of you out there helping to co-create this with me, whether you're there live, whether you're listening to the recording. Know that it was your energy and mine joining together in mass consciousness to co-create what this experience was here today. I honor you and wherever you are in your life and in your path. And I would appreciate any feedback, thoughts, comments, questions, topics, etc., that you might be willing to offer me in reflection, in co-creation for this program. I will be back same time, same place next week. I wish you all a wonderful week as we transition from October into November. Much love, my friends. Namaste.